Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This weekly radio program is brought to you by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We now invite you to stay tuned for our message this morning.
Good morning and welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. Again, I'm Elder David Wise and I'm the pastor at Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. And we try to produce this program in conjunction with Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church and their pastor, Elder Joe Nettles. Both churches meet at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning, and we'd certainly love to have you come worship with us anytime that you have an opportunity. At Macedonia, we'll be hosting a special meeting 2 weeks away. We'll be having worship services on Saturday, September the 30th, beginning at 10:30 a.m. in the morning with lunch, and then afternoon worship services to follow, as well as our regular Sunday morning worship services at 10:30 a.m. We'll be having a visiting minister, Elder James Conley, from Union Primitive Baptist Church in Ruth, Mississippi. And we look forward to having Brother James with us in our visitation from our friends in the community and other churches. And we want to invite you to come out and be with us during our special meeting at Macedonia as well. We'd love for you to contact us, and we want to hear from you and know that you're listening to our program. You can find our contact information and email address at our website, gospel-of-grace.com. You can also find past messages and a link to our iTunes podcast where you can subscribe and find us each week through that medium. Our first program here on the Gospel of Grace was the last Sunday of September in 2015. And we're coming up on 2 years now of having the privilege of preaching to you on a weekly basis and allowing you to listen to a cappella singing and hopefully grow with us in the Word of God. And we're so thankful for this opportunity to be able to preach the gospel in this venue and through this medium, and then also the opportunity on the internet and with iTunes and those great opportunities that are afforded to us now. And I'd like to take some time this morning to personally thank WLZA Radio for giving us this opportunity to not just have a radio broadcast, but to be on a station with such a broad broadcast area. I also would like to personally thank Greg May, who helps us out so much with the editing for this program and making sure we have everything ready for the broadcast every week. And we just thank you so much for everything that you've done for us these last 2 years. And we hope God will continue to give us this opportunity to speak in His name through the radio waves and through iTunes and through the internet. And we hope that our efforts through this broadcast has been glorifying to God, first of all, but we certainly hope it's been a blessing to you. And again, we just want to thank WLZA Radio for giving us this opportunity. And we certainly hope to be able to bring this message and this program to you for many years to come. We hope you'll pray for us in this endeavor. Pray it'll be a profitable effort. And if that is the case, we hope you'll give God the praise and the glory for every bit of it. The title of this radio broadcast is The Gospel of Grace. Well, and this morning we'd like to bring a message to your mind about just the simplistic message of salvation and the message of the gospel in the New Testament that ascribes glory and the completion of salvation to God alone by nothing more than His free and sovereign grace. So we hope to bring you a message this morning about the gospel of grace, which is the basis for the whole reason that we are preaching to you through this avenue. We hope you'll stay with us, and we'll bring the message to you right after the song.
Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites His chosen people, come and dine. With His manna He doth feed, and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master.
As we noted in our introduction to the broadcast this week, we want to go back to the basics this morning. The Gospel of Grace is the name of our broadcast, and we want to bring you a message this morning that simply reaffirms the scriptural declaration that eternal salvation is by the free and the sovereign grace of God alone. We want to read Paul's instruction to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2. He says, "I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." God understands that we are finite beings, and he had to make things simple for us. The structure of his New Testament church is simple. His worship is simple. And there's nothing more simple than that salvation is by God and by grace alone. And notice Paul's fear and his concern for the Corinthian church is that they would be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. But notice the specific aspect that he was concerned about Satan corrupting their mindset of. In verse 4, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if we receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which we have not accepted, you might well bear with him." Paul also said in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8, "Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so say I again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that we have received, let him be accursed." He says if someone comes and even claims to be an angel from heaven, but their gospel does not match up with the gospel of grace, the foundational tenets of the gospel of salvation by grace alone that we have laid among you, then you reject him and you let that man be accursed. And this tells us the gravity of the message of the gospel and Paul's concern that Satan could corrupt the Corinthians and also the Galatians, who were swaying to a works salvation instead of salvation by grace alone. That tells us that Satan can corrupt and deceive us into thinking that we have some role to play in our eternal salvation. The Apostle Paul preached the gospel of grace, and he was concerned for the churches that he preached at to remain in the simplicity of the gospel message. And if anyone comes preach anything other than that, than salvation by grace, then you reject it and you let that man be accursed. Very heavy language, and we should certainly take note of how important a correct understanding of the gospel of salvation by grace is. Eternal salvation by grace is taught all throughout the New Testament, but we want to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9 for a very succinct explanation of the message of the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." It's not according to the purpose of man, it's according to the purpose of God and the grace of God. When I interact with people and I tell them that I pastor Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, they often ask, "What is a Primitive Baptist and what does a Primitive Baptist believe?" And I say that we believe in salvation by grace alone. And many people would say, "Oh, I believe in salvation by grace too. We agree on that." But I want to put the proper definition on grace this morning. you might agree and say there's no work that we can perform that can save us to heaven. We believe in salvation by grace. But we want to make the distinction because grace, by definition, is unmerited favor. And that means that grace has to be bestowed in an unconditional manner. If grace is conditional, if there is a prerequisite that has to be met before favor is bestowed upon someone, then at that point it's no longer grace, which is unmerited favor. It is now merited favor. There was a prerequisite that was required. You met that prerequisite, and now you receive a just reward for the condition of the prerequisite that you have met. We want to make sure that we distinguish that the Scriptures declare salvation by grace alone, not a grace plus doctrine, not grace plus belief, not grace plus acceptance, not grace plus baptism, not grace plus volunteering in a soup kitchen, not grace plus a lifetime of good works that can in some way merit or make you acceptable before God to where He grants you entrance into heaven. The Scriptures declare salvation by grace alone. And if you place any condition or addendum on grace or a prerequisite that has to be required for grace to be bestowed upon someone, at that point the gospel of grace has been corrupted because it's no longer unmerited favor. It is now merited favor. Paul summarized the incompatibility of grace and works, Romans chapter 11 and verse 6. In verse 5, he says that there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Election is God's choosing of a people to salvation before the foundation of the world. And as we briefly go back to Romans chapter 9, considering election, the parenthetical statement in Romans chapter 9 and verse 11, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Now in Romans 11 and verse 5, we're told this is an election of grace, an election based on the unmerited favor of God bestowed upon His children. And according to election, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, notice, not of works, but of Him that calleth. He goes on to say in verse 13, quoting from the Old Testament, that Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Why did God choose to bestow His favor and His love upon Jacob and to leave Esau in the ruined condition of sin that he was already in? It was by the grace, the unmerited favor of God. It was not based upon a condition that he met, because that would be a work. And Paul clarifies here, the election is not of works, but of Him that calleth. So God's choice of a people to salvation is not contingent upon them performing an action, because if we have the correct perspective of man, there's no man that can perform that action. In Psalms chapter 14 and in Psalms 53, that's quoted in Romans chapter 3 as a summarization of the total corruption and the total depravity of man, we're told, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. You might say, well, you don't know my grandmother. You don't know my father. You don't know what a good man he is. And if there's anyone that can stand before God and be judged as a good man, then I believe that they can be. The Scriptures tear down that ideology and says there is none that doeth good. And just in case you think there might be an exception to that, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. And if there was someone that was good enough to receive eternal life or be good enough to have the favor of God bestowed upon them, at that point it's no longer grace because they have done something that is merited or earned that favor being shown unto them. Back in Romans chapter 11, again, there's a remnant according to the election of grace, and then in verse 6 in Romans 11, for if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. So if you hold to an ideology that says that God has done all the requirements of salvation, He's come 99% of the way, but you have to accept Him or believe and come that other 1%, I want to tell you that that is a salvation that's based on your work. It's based on your belief. And at that point, it has totally corrupted the definition of grace. And that's what Paul is essentially saying in Romans 11 and verse 6. You can't have it both ways. You can't claim grace and then say that a man has to do something. You can't declare a grace plus doctrine and still have it as salvation by grace. Grace plus nothing is the doctrine of the New Testament and of the Scriptures. And you might say that I believe that any man can be saved as long as they believe, but I still believe in salvation by grace because belief is not a work. And to answer that question, we want to go to the words of Jesus and to see if he considered belief a work. In John chapter 6 and verse 28, there were some sincere people that came unto him and said, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" And in verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent." Jesus Christ considered belief to be a work of God. So if you happen to be listening this morning and you say, "I've heard my entire life that we're saved by grace, but man has to believe." If belief is truly the condition and the prerequisite that's required for man to be saved to heaven, then at that point, it's not of grace. It's of works. It's by your belief. It's not salvation by grace. It's salvation by your belief. And someone else listening this morning might place the barrier for salvation in a different way, not belief, but simply faith in God. Now, faith is a fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 and 22 that's imparted into us in the new birth. But there's a distinction between the nature and the fruit of the Spirit of faith that we have in the new birth and our active expression of that faith in our lives. And if you read Romans 4 carefully, describing the faith of Abraham as he believed in God and he was justified by faith, you will notice the connection between active faith and belief. And we've already seen that belief is a work. So therefore, the act of placing your faith in Jesus Christ, which is belief, is described as a work. It is an action that man performs. Faith is not pre-programmed to be exhibited in the life of a child of God for them to believe in Jesus Christ. It takes an active work for them to do that. And then we're right back to the same problem of if faith in Christ is what's required for eternal salvation, that's simply right back to salvation by works. Someone might say, "I believe in grace plus baptism to be saved to eternal life." Well, baptism is obviously a work that you perform. And someone might even say that the threshold is even much higher than one individual action that you perform, but a lifetime of good works, that somehow you've lived in a manner that 51% of your actions are considered good in God's scales as you stand before Him in the great white throne of judgment. But we have to have the correct perspective. Again, if we offend in one point of the law, we're guilty of the whole law. So one sin is enough to condemn us for all of eternity from the presence of God. And we've already seen in Romans chapter 3, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. There's no one that can stand up to the scrutiny of God's law and God's standard of His holiness that He has conveyed to us in His Word. And based on the corruption and the depravity of man in his own nature, there is no one that can stand before a holy God and truly be declared righteous and be granted entrance into heaven's pure world. And furthermore, that would be pure salvation by works. That doesn't even give a pretense of salvation by grace. If the entirety of the actions of your life is what the determining factor of your eternal salvation is, then that is absolutely salvation by your works. It's not salvation by grace. Unfortunately, there have been men throughout the entire history of the church that have tried to corrupt the gospel of salvation by grace alone. We see this first cropping up in Acts chapter 15 when there were men that were saying that you have to be circumcised after the manner of Moses to be saved. And it caused such a stir that Paul and Barnabas went down from Antioch into Jerusalem and met with the apostles for them to consider this matter. And you'll notice again the escalation and the snowball effect of false teaching, because originally in verse 1 of Acts 15, they said, "Except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved." But by verse 5, they were saying it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And I want you to notice, this is dealing with a pertinent and a current issue in the early church that was comprised of many Jewish converts who still were trying to hold on to the Old Testament law and somehow mesh it with Christianity. But this is a microcosm And Paul deals with this in Galatians, which is, and the entire book of Galatians is written in response to the aftermath of what we see here in Acts chapter 15. So Paul and Barnabas come down with quite a few others to Jerusalem to consider this matter. And Peter stands up and answers the question very succinctly. Again, remember, Peter was the instrument of God in Acts chapter 10 to bring the gospel to Cornelius, who was a Gentile, who was uncircumcised, by the way, which is certainly important in this context. And Peter rose up in verse 7, and he says, "Men and brethren, you know how a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles, by my mouth, should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, as he did unto them, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith." And this account is really a microcosm of what occurs any time we place a contingency or a condition upon salvation by grace. As we've already said, if there's a condition on it that has to be met, it's not grace anymore, first of all. But this type of backhanded salvation by works, which is what these men were peddling, saying that you have to perform an action, you have to obey the law of Moses to be saved, but still wanting to portray the fact that they believed in grace. I want you to notice how succinctly Peter divides this issue. He says in verse 10, "Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they." Now, if the warnings of the Apostle Paul are not stark enough for us to understand the importance of us holding to the sincerity and the purity of salvation by grace alone, not a grace plus doctrine, but salvation by grace alone, Paul has already said, if any man comes preaching another gospel, let him be accursed. But Peter here says, "Why therefore tempt ye God?" It is tempting God, and it is stealing the glory of God in salvation if we try to take away from the fullness of salvation by grace alone that gives glory to God alone in salvation. And when we try to add an addendum or a condition or a prerequisite for salvation, we have to make sure that we accurately understand what we are actually doing. We are tempting God by corrupting His gospel, and we are stealing His glory that He is due for the salvation of sinners. And furthermore, it's a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, he says, which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear. A yoke is something that was placed upon the neck of an ox as he plowed in the field. I want you to imagine with me in your mind's eye how improper and how ridiculous it would be for a man to be walking around with an ox's yoke around his neck. And this yoke would be so heavy. These ox's yokes were often 80 to 100 pounds. And I want you to notice this man's going to be stooped over his entire life because he's carrying around a weight and a burden around his neck that was never intended for him. A yoke is not intended for a man. It's intended for an ox. And any type of message of salvation that places a condition or a work of man as the determining factor of salvation, that is a yoke upon the neck of the disciples that God never intended for us to bear. Why did God never intend for us to bear that yoke? It's because salvation is by grace alone. As Jonah came to the conclusion when he was in the whale's belly, he finally surmised salvation is of the Lord. And it's just that simple. Salvation is in Christ alone and by grace alone. And if we add anything to that, we are placing a ox's yoke upon the neck of men that they were never intended to bear, and they're going to walk around downtrodden and sure enough with neck and back problems because they have a weight and a burden upon their neck that was never supposed to be placed there. What was Peter's summarization of this entire conference that denounces salvation by works and affirms salvation by grace? Acts chapter 15 and verse 12. "But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they." He says Jews are saved the same way that Gentiles are saved. and that is by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, that is the same for every elect child of God, from Adam to Abel, from all the saints of the Old Testament to the people here in this audience in Acts chapter 15, for the children of God here in 2017, and for all the children of God that have not even been born yet, that were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. I want to affirm to you this morning that every single child of God is saved in the exact same way, and that is by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that you're thankful that salvation is by grace alone, because if I had anything to do with my salvation, boy, I'd mess it up. You see, we're fallen creatures. Adam only had one rule to follow, and he messed it up. And if we believe that there is one action that we can perform that can earn us eternal life, and the perfect man that was made in God's own image couldn't even keep one requirement, and we're fallen and sinful creatures, we don't have the slightest hope of eternal life if there is a requirement placed upon man, but more than that, requirement placed upon David Wise for him to perform, for him to be saved to heaven. The only hope of salvation that we have at all is by the grace of God alone. Not grace plus, because we'll mess up the plus. Because if that was the case, we'd mess up the plus part of the equation. But salvation is by grace alone. And if you feel the burden of your sin and you understand that you are wholly inadequate to perform any action to merit your eternal salvation, I encourage you to accept the message of the gospel that it is salvation by grace, and I believe that you will feel the liberation that Peter is talking about here as that yoke that was never intended to be on your neck. It is lifted off of your neck to where now you can look up and be vibrant in the service of God because of the beautiful message of salvation by grace alone. We're thankful to have a chance to share these thoughts with you, and we certainly hope they've been a blessing to you. And we invite you to come back with us here next week on this program as we continue to look into the Word of God and consider the unsearchable riches of God's sovereign grace.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. To find a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find further contact information, you can visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com. You can also find our program on iTunes under podcast, entitled The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Radio Broadcast. If you listen and enjoy our program, we would love to hear from you. You may contact us by email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road, on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. We would love for you to come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We invite you to tune in again next week for another message from the Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wonderful the master's